Our scripture verse this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. This is what Mary says in the company of Elizabeth in talking about who she believes Christ will be in the world. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Again, in this story that we hear this morning, we find Mary, who has traveled to see Elizabeth and has just been told that she is blessed and that John the Baptist has leapt in the womb when Mary comes near. Mary has come to be with Elizabeth, whether it is to leave a society that would make her feel shame in her pregnancy or just to be with Elizabeth, who she was close to. Mary has traveled to be with her. And it is from this dialogue with Elizabeth that we come upon this passage from Mary. Mary praises God for letting her be the mother of Christ and realize that it is a blessing for her. Mary humbly accepts with faith what this will mean for her. Yet the thing that is most important is that she seems to realize what the birth of Christ will mean for the rest of the world. And that's what she shares in the scripture. In my opinion, Mary is giving us prophecy because even though she seems to be praying to God, she begins to name the things that Christ will do in his time in ministry, bringing up the powerless, feeding those who are hungry, giving strength and enabling the faith of many. Mary sees the potential in her son. She faithfully believes that what God is doing in her will be for the benefit of the world. And so she praises God. She shares a vision of her child, an intimate connection where Mary seems to say, "I know what this baby inside me will become, and I feel so blessed by God already." She has hopes and dreams for what Christ will become. She knows what has been told by the angel, but her prayer, her song, as it's often called, is this affirmation that Christ will change the world. When I hear the words of Scripture, I see two sides of Mary. The side that we often portray, which is beautiful, the gentle, caring mother who cares for Christ. This in itself is a powerful image. To think of Mary as who is believed to be a teenaged woman, the same woman who will only be in her mid-40s when she has to watch Christ be put upon the cross. There is power in seeing the faith and assured care of Mary for the Christ child. Breath of heaven, light in the darkness, be forever with us. We see her as calm and caring, questioning the angel only as to how she will be able to carry Christ, and yet being sure that she will bring God incarnate into the world. There's beauty in the image of Mary as the caring mother. But the other side of Mary that we don't often talk about, we don't often see, is this powerful Mary who is a prophetic voice. When we see other prophets in the Bible, we don't categorize them in the same way that we categorize Mary. Nobody says, "How sweet," when John the Baptist is calling for people to get right with God because Jesus is coming. When Jeremiah and Micah talk about a clear line of right and wrong, nobody says, "Well, that's so caring of them." When John of Patmos in the book of Revelation says the mighty will be laid low, we never call John gentle. There is a power in Mary's prophetic words. She herself has lived as a part of a marginalized group seeking a savior, and she knows at the depth of her soul who Christ could be for the world. her love for Jesus and her love for God do not come out as a soft expression of coddling a child, but her testimony is one of belief in a God that has come to change the world through Christ. The theologian and pastor Rachel Held Evans says, "It is an unconventional birth announcement. It is defiant, it is prophetic, it is unsentimental." She says, "We like to paint Mary in these softer hues, her robes, her clean hair combed and covered, body poised in prayerful surrender. But this young woman is a fierce one, full of strength and fury. When she accepts the dangerous charge before her, every birth is risky, this one especially so. Rather than reciting a maternal blessing, Mary offers a prophecy. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought up the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to the descendants forever." What would you say if you received that birth announcement in the mail? Rachel Held Evans says, "When sung in a warm candlelight church at Advent, it can be easy to blunt these words, to imagine them as symbolic, nonspecific, and comforting. I don't think Mary intends them in that way. The truth is, we need comfort. We ourselves need care in this season, but the beauty of these words is not to gloss over them, but to hear them, to hear the righteousness of the anger of a people who have been disregarded and broken." As I read the passage this week, I could not help but to reflect on all the other people who might feel broken and disinherited. When I read the story of Mary, her intimate words that reflect on her understanding of the power of the child she is about to bear, I think about all the families that have been torn apart by violence and assumption and anger and fear. It breaks my heart. And all that I can think is, I cannot wait for the Christ child. I cannot wait for love to win. In Advent, the season leading up to Christmas, we talk about anticipation, about waiting on Christ. We wait until Christmas, or in our tradition, Christmas Eve, to really embrace the birth of Christ. We wait just as our hearts wait for the possibility to change our reality, to move from pain and darkness to healing and light. But the truth is, my heart is bursting. I cannot wait any longer for love to win. I cannot wait any longer for the day when Christ's love will triumph and the harmful acts of domestic violence and abuse will be no more, when peace reigns and the lives of young men and women on our streets are no longer thought of as a casualty of bad circumstance, when senseless acts of violence that take children from their parents will be wiped away and the lives of all people would be viewed as sacred. I cannot wait for the day when love reigns and the value of a person is not dependent on the perception of what is normal, when people are measured on the standards of equality, when people who need support and help would find care and community even if they are deemed different, when love reigns and race and gender and orientation and monetary status and age and ability and are secondary to the fact that all people are made in the image of God. I cannot wait for the day that Christ's love will reign and children will no longer be target practice in schools and parents and grandparents won't have to live in fear that their children are learning math and science but also learning lockdown drills and suspicion and that they will never get a chance to see the world with innocence. I cannot wait for the day when the love of Christ will lead women to stop being taken advantage of and people to stop taking advantage of women and instead listen and believe them. The day when families will stop being broken apart and the harm that is done to the vulnerable will have a place in our world, when broken bodies and broken souls can find rest and relief in Christ. I cannot wait for the day when the love of Christ is lived out, When our anger and angst are met with help and healing, when depression and emotional pain are met with comfort and change, when those who are cold and hungry, homeless and cast aside would find help not only to change their status momentarily, but to change their situation indefinitely. When families can find reconciliation, when forgiveness can overcome hurt. I cannot wait for love, for Christ to give power to the powerless, hope to those who have lost hope, and to give life and light to a world that often lives in darkness. But just like Mary, it is because of our faith that I believe that the love in Christ is true and transformational, caring and strong and inspirational, that God makes love possible through Christ. This season is about God being incarnate in our world, purposefully entering into all that we are encountering to offer something different. We are not alone, and God is with us. God makes it possible for love to reign. I cannot wait. I cannot wait, and I pray that we would see the way of Christ soon, and I cannot wait for the day when Christ's church would live out the message of Christ to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world and enable the truth of Christ's love to become the truth by which the world lives. We cannot wait any longer. We must act in accordance to our faith. We must leap like John, knowing that Christ comes near. We must believe that change can happen with the birth of Christ and end our inaction. We must have faith that living as Christ will call us to can bring light to a reality of profound love. Like the love of Mary, let our love be caring and fierce. Let us be vulnerable to the work of God, but powerful in seeing it come to be. Like the care that happens at Redford Brightmore Initiative and Cass and Baldwin and Methodist Children's Home, over this season, I ask us to remember that Christ has called us to love and care for others. Invite others to come in from the cold to be fed, both physically and spiritually. We are invited to see that the well-being of others deserves the same great attention that we give to trying to serve our own needs in this season. We are invited to remember that we are to be centered on the birth of Christ, a Christ who has compassion for the least and the last, the rejected and the abused. And we too are called to serve those who have the greatest need. How you do that in this season is up to your own discernment. But as ones who have received the blessings of Christ in many ways, I ask that you find a way to share that blessing with others. What can you do? What can I do? What can we do together to share love in a world that needs it? The truth is, I cannot wait for the love of Christ. O come, Emmanuel, let us believe and live in you. Let us bow our heads and pray. God, help us to remember the love of that holy night when Christ was born. Let us cling to the love of Mary, caring and fierce, seeking righteousness for the world, and yet holding the infant Savior with that same abundant love. Help us to love the same, unafraid to step out with care, emboldened by a faith that calls us to care for all. Help us to love you first, and in doing so, love all of your creation as well. God, help us to live in love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.